Hello, this is your friendly editor-in-chief slash podcast host slash fool, Mr. Drupon, also known as Austin in the real world. This episode was somewhat of a rush job, so we neglected to talk about the what is potentially the second biggest, if not biggest, news, which was Vivendi Activision Soft DV, which is the merger between Vivendi, who owns Blizzard, and Activision. So if you guys want us to talk about that next week, we will, though it won't be as relevant. Just apologies for missing that. We had some plumbing problems in the office, and I was, office meaning my house, and I was fixing the toilet, and then we rushed into the podcast, and then we forgot about Vivendi Activision D. So, there you go. Enjoy the, show, or what's left of it, and left of our sanity. Hello, welcome to episode... I forgot what we were on.
74.
Shit. All right. Welcome to 74, episode F of Try Games. Wow, this is a messed up beginning. Sunday, December 9th, the recording, as usual. 1 week after... Well, a little bit more than a week after the whole Jeff Gerstmann aftermath thing type dealio speculation. What'd you say?
Game
and the smoke
gate.
Clears!
The smoke still hasn't really cleared yet.
But, a bit.
A little bit. A lot of people.
There's still
had,
smoke in there.
There's still some smoke in there. You can't catch the dragon.
You fucking mother. You cocksucker.
There's a lot of stuff out there that you can read that people have spoken about on the subject. So all you need to do is to go to your chosen video game review outlet or online publication and read. A lot of people have some things to say, most notably Jeff Green from Games for Windows and Ingai Kroll from the Newsweek's Level Up blog. Some people on GameSpy as well. It's all very interesting reason. I'll give you guys the links later on in the episode so you can listen and go read. But first, we're going to go back to regular stuff in an attempt to get back to some form of regularity. So what have you been playing? Oh, shit, do I flip a coin here? Let's see. Tales for Tony
again.
I like
being regular.
It is. This is an old penny, so I can't really tell what the head's head is. Oh, okay, here we go. Al! It's a Canadian penny. What the hell? Al, what are you playing?
Landed on a leaf.
Warcraft, pretty much, mostly.
Boo
to you, too. Fuck
boo your
all
face.
Of y'all.
Boo in
there are
stereo.
Only two of us, so that's not much to fuck.
Well, I don't care. All of y'all.
But
even
you
those
too.
who are listening now and going, boo, yeah. Fuck y'all too. No, I'm just playing. I love all of y'all.
They're better than you.
yeah, I'm getting ready again for another level 70 push because people on my job always run around changing up and stuff. So now we're in
Tony,
another
what
server.
Just kidding. Go ahead.
Fuck
keep going.
You, man.
Enough of that noise.
We're in another server and I'm playing with my very first character. And she's level 66 now.
Going the gray-haired female with the big boobs and big ass.
That's right. The gray-haired female with the big boobs and, well...
My character's
big
gonna
ass.
Be a bear.
Look like Storm, Halle Berry style.
Uh-huh. Why don't you start with your level 27 mohawk?
Oh, they had this funny commercial with Warcraft with Jean-Claude Van Damme. If you check out on Kotaku.
Oh, Jean-Claude Van Damme, no. Oh,
yeah,
oh,
I sort of missed a T1 and a Will Shatner one.
The William Shatner one was okay, but the Mr. T1 is by far the funniest so far.
Mm-hmm.
Other than Warcraft, I have been playing something. I played a little God of War, a little bit of Rock Band.
How far are you in God of War?
At that part where you gotta run around, and you see Ares stomping shit.
That's all parts. You know?
Okay, so you're about to hit Athens. It sounds like. Okay.
Or, well, actually, I think I just hit Athens. I got to the part where the lady was running away from you and then she falls off the balcony.
Oh, yeah. So you got to get the key and...
I got the key and then I ran back and I saved. So
okay.
That's where
Oh, so you're a lot farther than just... So you're basically coming to that area for the second time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in the beginning of the game... like in the first hour or so, you get to Athens, you see Ares stomping
right.
around and then...
Right.
Oh, that's the first... Yeah, that's where I am still.
Oh, the lady falls off the balcony in the beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was later.
Right when you see Ares, you're walking down, you get to the gate of Athens, You know, break some statues. You go into the thing. This lady runs away from you. Eventually, she jumps off the balcony just to avoid you because you're a monster. And
I'm thinking of another thing. No spoilers. I won't say it.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I got that key, and then I went through and fought the guys with the shields, and then that was where I saved back.
Square, square, triangle. Square, square, triangle.
Triangle.
Square, square, triangle. Because that's the magical button combination to break those shields.
What does it call it? The plumes of something or other? Of Prometheus?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. I played something on the Wii. I can't even remember. I know I downloaded Hudson's Adventure Island.
Okay.
Because that's Wonder Boy 1.
Wrecking Crew, maybe?
No, I didn't play Wrecking Crew this week.
I gives it a 7.0.
I played through...
and no, I wasn't paid off by Nintendo to do that.
Thank goodness. I played through the first stage of Hudson's Adventure Island and died because I was too tired. And now I was playing just Rock Band pretty much all week. Here
cock
and, there.
And like, cock band with your rock out.
Yeah. That's it, really. I've been very busy this week.
Tony!
Yay! I have been playing Lunar 1.
Going back.
I just finished
on your
Lunar
CDX.
2. Yep. Finished Lunar 2. I did the second half mission, if anybody knows what the second half mission is. It's after the game.
So it's like a new game plus?
No, it's just like a prologue. It's it's like a mini adventure. What you're trying to do is get to the Blue Star so you could get to Lunar. So not Lunar, Lucia. I'm sorry, I'm mixing
spoilers!
Up.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
Everybody who hasn't played Lunar, spoilers.
Oh, please. You know that game is like from 94. Get with it.
Some people still haven't played Final Fantasy VII, although that one's popular enough to have its statute of limitations lifted.
Yeah, that is just unexcusable.
Still haven't played Lunar 2, but I don't really care.
But that's okay. I didn't give away the end of the first one. I'm just saying there's a prologue. Anyway, so finished that. I went to Lunar 1, and right now the Lunar 1 is considerably easier than Lunar 2, only because you can actually have one character and level up with that one character by making everybody else run. And having the people run is a 100% thing. They will run 100% of the times if they are not affected by status ailments. Okay, so I have Alex.
So there's no instance where you can try to hit run and they'll be
and
like,
they
oh.
And they scramble around, yeah, like, oh, no,
like,
it
oh,
failed.
You can't run and then you
right,
lose a turn?
Exactly. No,
that's
kind of
like Chrono Cross, I think.
Yeah, the only... The only time you can't run is
boss?
During a boss fight. Yeah,
right.
Of course. But every other time, 100% run. So I got Alex at like level 67 now, close to the end of the game. I'm going to get him to about 99 before I even start leveling everybody else up.
99 bodies of Lunar.
And then I broke out my Nintendo 64.
Oh!
Shut up. Broke out my Nintendo 64, and I decided, you know, I don't think I gave... Mischief Makers. Shut the fuck up, man.
Mr. Finger?
Mischief Makers, you dumb fucking
Mr.
ignorant
Finger.
Fuck.
Shake, shake.
Yeah, so I wanted to play Mischief Makers just because I...
My name is Austin.
I broke my ball this morning. Shut the fuck up.
Actually, I should take a picture of it so you can see it.
Oh, gross, man. That's my baby.
Making mischief, baby. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, Mischief Makers. I started playing that because I don't think I gave that a fair chance the first time around. I mean, I beat it, but, like, I didn't like it. But, you know, I just wanted to, like, see, you know, if there was something I missed and stuff like that. So I played that.
Now that you're older and wiser.
Yeah, exactly. So, Austin, what are you playing?
What did you say, Al?
If he missed anything. Or you haven't gotten to that point.
Well, what's your evaluation then? Like, yes or no? Were you crazy or were you right?
What do you mean?
Were you
about
crazy?
Mischief Makers.
Yeah.
Austin, what are you playing?
Were you crazy or were you right about Mischief
Austin,
Makers?
What are you playing? I will get to that.
I'll let you go first.
No, I'll get to that. Don't worry.
I'll be thinking about that. Well, let me tell you what.
Yeah.
We're on the news. No, I'm kidding. I'm playing... I put Castlevania into the PSP. And... I should say, Tony, that don't throw away your PSP.
Mm-hmm. It's a great game.
Yes, it's freaking Castlevania. It's the one that hasn't been released either.
Yeah, it's so. Is it, what is it? Castlevania X or something? What's it called?
Yeah. It's called Castlevania X Dracula X Castlevania Dracula X Chronicles, which is a stupid ass name, but
right.
They basically took the original TurboGrafx CD game. Okay. I'm sorry, the PC Engine CD, because in Japan it was known as PC Engine. And
right.
It didn't have the blight of TurboGrafx crapix here. let's see, what did they do? It's the original Turbo CD game.
Mm-hmm.
They gave it a 3D facelift that I believe is optional, but I have not figured out how to play it in its original form.
Okay.
Probably got to beat the original.
Yeah, but I know it's in there because they ask you about the screen size that you want to see in the wallpaper style that you want to see when you play the original, which is kind of odd. It's like, hey, when you play the original version, how big do you want the screen? Okay, what about the wallpaper? All right, well, you won't be able to play it now, but we were just asking beforehand. And I'm like, oh, thanks. You also have to unlock Symphony of the Night. You can't just play it outright, but
I mean,
the fact that they packed Symphony of the Night in there in the first place is really awesome.
Worthy purchase.
I was thinking about saying, okay, I'll download it on Xbox Live Arcade or PlayStation Network, and then I thought about the fact that, hey, I could play this anywhere I go.
Right.
That's right. Dark Matter.
And plus, I haven't used this fucking system in a long time. Let me give it a break.
Yeah. That's going to get me to buy one, or if I get lucky and I get one for Christmas, that would be my first purchase of a title.
And it's a $30 game. It's not $50. It's $30.
Great.
It's a reasonably priced game, so go get it.
Oh, man.
Because of the fact that it was a Castlevania that never came out, and the fact that they have Symphony of the Night in there as well, I would have gotten it for $50.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been worth it to me because of the fact that this is a game that did not come out.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I also unlocked a few more songs in Rock Band by my lonesome because I'm antisocial like that. And I started playing Gears of War on PC, and playing Gears of War with a mouse is so liberating.
I'm pretty sure it is.
It's and here's the thing. I liked it on 360. It was one of the only shooter-type games that I could actually tolerate with the analog stick, and I was cool with it. But it's even better with a mouse now. My computer is still kind of like halfway up to snuff. It's not really there. It's, you know, mid to high level. It's not really like a several thousand dollar beast as you and Ethan, well, as you used to have and as Ethan has.
Exactly.
When are you going to get that fixed?
Let's not talk about that.
When is Ethan going to do you the deed and fix it?
He's been busy. I've been very patient.
No, I know.
Just put it that way.
He's been shaving his nose and everything. I understand. But for the Gears purposes on my PC, I have some stuff on medium. The only thing I think I have on high is the filter detail and the character detail. And what that does is if you play the original Gears of War, you see that it's kind of muted, kind of grayish. They did that on purpose to give it kind of a desolate feel.
Okay.
That's their muted filter. And they have that on the PC version, but they also let you switch between a filter called Vivid and a filter called Intense.
Okay.
I have not tried Intense, but I have tried Vivid, and what it does, it kind of blasts the contrast into, like, galactic proportions, where the bright stuff is really bright and the dark stuff gets really dark, which is what contrast does. But it also has the effect of injecting some natural color in there.
Okay.
So it's more colorful than the original version, but
he
not artificially
inject.
So. And it looks really, really gritty and really intense.
Bottles of beer on a wall, 99 bottles of gear. You take one gear and pass it around, and then you have no dual analog stick.
And it just looks really, really good. And it actually runs at a playable frame rate on my machine now that I've turned stuff down to medium. And it doesn't look any worse. Like, you expect you turn stuff down to medium. Like Crysis, you turn it down from photorealistic to Far Cry, which is not bad because Far Cry still looks good, but it's a noticeable downgrade. Whereas this, if you have the right filter on and you set the filter detail onto high, you can set your textures down to medium and you can do all this other stuff and still play it, and it looks great and it's playable. And it coming out through my subwoofer, because I don't have a subwoofer for my 360, but I have one for my PC, my feet vibrate every time something happens and every time something explodes, so I don't need force feedback.
This is mad based in that game.
And Gears, if you are a PC gamer, get it. Let's see, what else have I been playing? I think that's about it. I'm going to start playing Golden Axe 3 for review, which won't be pleasant. I don't think.
Oh man, I remember
Al
playing
Al has one thing to say before news. What are you saying before news?
Oh, okay. Instead of saying what I was going to say before, which is about Golden Axe, which is not important. I downloaded Daikatana on Tap, but I haven't been able to play it yet.
Oh, thank
God.
Sorry, that's why you're still
everyone.
Alive.
It would have been probably my bag of shit this week, but it'll have to wait till next week.
John Romero is going to make you his bitch.
Suck
it down.
Takatana.
What a terrible, terrible. Ugh, let's move on.
3.0.
In your dreams, magical thoughts, all things are real unless you dream they're not. In your dreams, love is the plot, carried on wings of hope.
We're going to start off with the news. Of course, there's Gershman stuff, but that's going to wait until later. Of course, we're going to clean up with the Gershman thing, but right now, since we have more quote-unquote facts and more official word on this, it'll be a lot less just us speculating and theorizing and more just, so how do we analyze this and what can we take away from this as a whole, as, you know, consumers or whatnot. So, first news from Tony, who is livid, Tom Brokaw deems blogs and video games cancerous.
This fucking douche. This is a finger pointer pointing fingers. It's the glass house theory in effect right now. One sec.
So he's cancerous. A recent interview with Tom Brokaw, contacted by Hugh Hewitt. Wow.
Hugh Hewitt.
That's a convenient
Hugh
name.
Hewitt.
Hugh Hewitt.
On townhall.com
reveals that the retired newscaster supported his former network's decision to air Virginia Tech murderer Cho Sung-hui's videotaped hate-filled monologue. He was not... Okay, that's not cancerous at all. He wasn't concerned about a series of imitators who might also want their hundreds of hours of airtime. No, he was concerned about, of course, video games, because they're so much more cancerous than this twat was. Mm-hmm. Brokaw pointed to games and curiously blogs as being cancerous. His full comment on two of the 21st century Horsemen of the Apocalypse is better in context.
Let me read this. Okay, HH. NBC ran the Virginia Tech killer tape on the day they obtained it. Steve Kappas, Brian Williams made that decision. Did they make the right decision? Here it goes. Yes, they did.
Yes, they did.
Do you think it's going to incite other people to try to do the same thing? No, I don't. I think, to get back to something we were talking about earlier in general thematic skirms, terms.
Thematic terms.
Skirms.
What's a schematic skirm?
I don't know. I don't think we're doing a very good job about talking about violence in this country either. You know, Virginia Tech went away. We didn't have any ongoing dialogue in our communities or on the air about the corrosive effects of violence. It was not that he, what people saw of him on the air, that will drive them. It's what they read in blog sites and what they see in video games. It's that kind of stuff that I think is cancerous. And I'm a free speech absolutist. But I think that at the same time, we have a free speech, and we have to have free speech in some kind of context. And part of that context is discussion of the possible effects of it. Yeah, media has nothing to fucking do with sensationalizing motherfucker.
And reading this quote in full now, you know, while it's easy to jump on him and say he's a dinosaur and he's calling video games and blogs as a whole cancer site, I don't know. I feel like, you know, he's on the air. He's just being asked to give a split second opinion on this. And while he probably doesn't like the stuff in video games, and I don't know. I mean,
no, but this has an air of cover your own ass to it. You know what I'm saying?
What?
This has an air of cover your own ass to it. In other words, he as a journalist doesn't want to be.
Well, of course, of course, yeah. I mean,
doesn't want to be responsible for sensationalizing a story and having others to. What did the guy say?
But you have to remember, he's not even the one who did it in the first place.
No,
it was the other guys. So
but
we can't just jump on his throat like that.
No. But as a journalist, he doesn't want to fall into the same lump. But. You know, rather than say, you know, I had nothing to do with it, he's putting a broad generalization, a fucking blanket thing that it's blogs and video games that put these
right.
thoughts into people's heads.
Right, and what I was saying
yeah.
is that I think he probably, either he didn't have time to get into it or he just doesn't know enough about them, and he probably doesn't, and that's nothing to excuse it. But, you know, there's some blog sites possibly about the Cho Sung-hui mm-hmm. situation that mm-hmm. he may be referring to as well.
Right, but he's a douche.
Okay, but hold on for a second, all right? You know, who may be theorizing, as many other blog sites, so there's ourselves, even though we're not a blog site, we're theorizing about the Gershman thing without that much knowledge. They would talk about Cho Sung-hui and just spit out all kinds of weird random shit that mm-hmm. was uninformed and whatnot. So I'm with you. I think he's probably talking about video games and making a mistake in generalizing, but what if he wasn't? You know, we don't know. As far as him saying that stuff in video games is cancerous, I will disagree with most of that stuff, but mm-hmm. I will say that, you know, again, I'll stress, I don't think some of the stuff as Manhunt is necessarily all that cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'll play it. I won't take away their right to say that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I will, you know, whatever, they can do whatever the hell they want.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm allowed to have an opinion, my opinion is that it's a little disturbing. So if he's, you know, he could just be talking about that. I don't necessarily trust him to, because, you know, he's from the old generation.
Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, I'm just saying that I'm with you, but we shouldn't jump down his throat immediately.
Well, I just want to read this quote again. Maybe that'll shed light on it. He's going saying, you know, Virginia Tech went away. No, it didn't went away. The story
it
and the newsworthiness.
Away.
Yeah, the newsworthiness of it went away. Not the story itself, okay? Virginia Tech did not go away. Hold on, okay? We didn't have an ongoing dialogue in our communities, but we did, okay? In our communities, or the air of corrosive effect of violence. It was not that he, what people saw of him on the air, that will drive him. Incorrect, okay? The first words of this new guy what was it?
Right, I was about to get to that.
I'm going
to
be fucking
the rest of the post
famous.
Below.
Yeah, his words were, I'm going to be fucking famous. This wasn't saying, oh yeah, I learned this from Grand
right.
Theft Auto.
Right,
or
right.
I read this on a blog. I'm going to be blogged about tonight. He said, I'm going to be fucking famous.
Right.
Now, how better to get famous than to
then
have
to
the
get
media
on the air.
Jump
yeah.
all over the story. Tom Brokaw is a douche for saying this. I'm sorry. You know, there's no way to go around. I know you could give him every sympathy. He was ill-prepared. Maybe he, you know, but, and he's
dude,
from the
I'm
old
not,
school
dude,
and stuff.
No. Stop for a second. I'm not sympathizing with him.
Okay. No, but like, it's almost
I'm
like
I'm
you're
saying
own...
that we jump on everybody mm-hmm. for, like, at the drop of a quote. And, like, just reading this,
mm-hmm.
it a lot of times the reason why we jump on people is because the quote is not even this is wrong. I agree mm-hmm. with you. He's wrong here, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, at he's displaying some little measure of thought rather than just say, mm-hmm. oh, he's not saying in an extremist manner, oh, video games are blah, blah.
Right, right.
There's a difference there is what I'm saying.
Right. But at the same time, it's almost, he didn't mention anything about the media having anything
no,
to do
No, he didn't. I totally agree. But again,
yeah.
I'm saying that as opposed to a lot of the extremist crap that we read,
right.
especially from people.
No, totally
from certain
that,
lawyers.
Yeah. On that, I agree. On that, I agree.
Who should be disbarred.
Yeah, sure.
You know, but, I mean, this is you know, I don't agree with him at all, but
right.
it's – I'm not willing to basically just jump down his throat and say, like, he's a fucking twat, you know. He's wrong.
Can I say something about this?
No. Yes.
I would just like to know what you guys think his meaning of cancerous is.
Well, it's going to bring death eventually. That's what
because
I think.
Because his
you know?
Meaning of cancerous to me is different than I think what everybody else is thinking.
What are you thinking?
What do you mean, like a plague?
In terms of how cancer works, how things spread.
It's a growing mess.
How word spreads and how insights and things like that spread quickly from blog sites and what people see in video games, how those things affect them. Of course, media in general does that type of thing, and it seems like he is trying to kind of exclude that, saying, oh, well, we weren't really talking about it, and mm-hmm. we weren't doing anything, but mm-hmm. what people say in blog sites, what can be true or not so true, because a blog is just an opinion, a lot of times people take that as, like, the word.
Fact. Yeah.
And that's what I'm thinking. That, like, for example, when the whole Jeff Gerstmann thing went down and you know, nobody really knows the truth of that, but everybody seems to think that it's about the Kane and Lynch thing, and no one really knows for sure. Everything
right.
kind of points to it.
But it's spreading.
But it spread like cancer.
Like a cancer, yeah.
I mean, it's not
dangerous. That's a very good point. You know,
yeah, but
what's
the difference between that and the word
viral? It's something
viral.
That I was thinking about, but I didn't really bring out in depth because I thought he was using it in a negative context. But, you know, that's a good point. It is spreading. It is stuff that spreads. And, you know, games take... people will shoot me, but I'm right when I say that games, as art,
mm-hmm.
okay, just like any other art, can be culturally relevant and takes what we see in our culture and spreads it mm-hmm. for the better or for the worse. So that's a very good point that I wasn't thinking about. Tony, what were you saying?
I was actually saying, what's the difference between if that widespread being cancerous and widespread being viral? So you're saying that it has the same context?
Well,
the word he chose was cancerous.
Yeah,
no, I'm
viral
saying, but, like, viral
be...
is almost the same meaning if you take it in that context, correct?
Especially since viruses kind of tend to jump between people, as
right.
opposed to cancer that stays centered within the body mass.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, Tony and Al, MD.
Ah.
Thank you.
Yes.
I mean, he could, because probably it's because viral is an accepted term in marketing, and he didn't want to use that term because it's not about marketing; it's about spreading the stuff, you know. But
viral can be very misconstrued, just as this, but probably worse.
Yeah. But yeah, lest anybody be confused, as Tony did say, yes, this Hawkins guy was all, yeah, you know, I'm going to be famous. So that kind of nips Mr. Brokaw's statement in the bud that, no, we didn't spread this well. You did enough.
Yeah.
To encourage this guy. But
he didn't say I was going to be in a video game. That's not what he said. He said, yeah, I'm going to be fucking famous.
Though it would be funny if we found a letter later stating that I've always wanted to be in Metroid.
now he's
new character from Smash Brothers.
Dude, wouldn't it be funny if my head was in Puyo Puyo? But moving on to next piece of news from our favorite news blog poster. What's your name? Susan. Sega denies. All right, Sega denies Dreamcast 2 rumors. That would have been nice. But apparently before there was a rumor that Dreamcast 2 was coming out, here's what the article says. In an application to trademark Dreamcast sparked rumors and hope that Sega was considering resurrecting the platform, but the company has come forward to say that they have no intention of doing so.
Of
as Morpheus said, I dreamed a dream, and now that dream is gone from me. let's see what the article says. Sega of America's PR chief, Charlie Shibetta, told Game Daily that Sega is quite happy being platform agnostic and has no plans to get back into the console business because no one's buying Sonic Riders or Sonic Heroes. Ugh. Actually, a lot of people are buying them, and that's a sad
truth. Or Sonic and Mario at the Olympics.
Shibetta further explained that Sega's strategy of abandoning hardware to concentrate on software has worked well for the company thus far, thus elevating them to number 6 in terms of our market share by units among 30 third-party publishers. That's because people keep on buying the bad Sonic games that they put out, and it makes me cry.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on. Here's for any Wii owners. Activision will replace Guitar Hero Wii discs in 2008. If you have Guitar Hero on Wii and you have a stereo TV, you probably notice that when you're playing a multiplayer, your stuff comes out of the same speakers. Why? That's because they messed up and they put mono in the Wii version and they didn't think about it and test it. So, Chris Kohler writes here, Activision will mail replacement Guitar Hero 3 discs to owners of the Wii version who complain about the game's audio problems. The Wii version of the popular music game, which advertises Dolby Pro Logic 2, Ruh-roh, only outputs in mono sound. We are currently working with Nintendo on planning to issue an improved audio experience in future versions of the game. We expect to have remastered discs available by early 2008 and will be offering consumers replacement discs at no cost once they become available. And if they delay it for too long, they'll send you a free Activision game. Right, Al?
Right, and they'll delay you on getting that Activision game out. Just like fucking EA. Thank you.
So they basically delayed you twice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But they appreciate your patronage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They should give me another game.
I don't have the URL for this, but there's a rumor out there that Nintendo and Activision are working to bring you downloadable content for Guitar Hero 3 in 2008 as well. That's a rumor, yeah. Not a fact. I don't even have the URL. I just remember seeing it in passing.
I remember seeing it, too.
But I guess they'll have to do it with the SD card. Anyway, more on journalistic stuff. Street Fighter 4 got announced a few weeks or months ago or whatever. We all remember that. And then the first screenshots came out with Ryu's, you know, dong kind of showing through his gi. But anyway, the whole little scuttlebutt around this is that they came from a Brazilian blogger who increased his traffic by a lot. But what happened was he basically got these images from EGM and posted them early. And EGM's parent company, Ziff Davis, decided to file suit against him or threaten him or whatnot. I'm trying to figure out what it was.
They were going to sue him.
They were going to sue him. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they threatened him to take the stuff down from his site. And he says, you know, I just got these and I just wanted to spread the word. And, you know, I'm frightened right now. In all caps, of course.
What a scumbag.
So one side of the story is that Ziff Davis, the big evil magazine empire, is coming down on the little guy who's just trying to do what's right for the people, man. Raise a fist, man. The other side of the story is that the people at EGM worked really hard on this story to get the screenshots, and we know we should feel sorry for them, even though they're a big, big company. They worked hard for the screenshots, and this little guy, you know, insidiously came in and stole the stuff and is an evil guy, and he's a freelancer, and he's taking advantage of the freelance position and knowing the passwords to EGM servers and taking these images, and, you know, he's evil and a rebel, and EGM should get their money, or they should get – and where my – my opinion, okay, on this lies somewhere in the middle. I personally would sway towards the side of Ziff Davis. I know everybody wants to side with the little guy immediately because that's the thing to do, and everybody thinks corporations are bad and everyone's a communist. But no, I'm sorry. If it's their property. They worked on a deal with Capcom. They put in a lot of work into getting these images to break for their readers, who pay money for the magazine. For example, let's say I'm a subscriber, and actually I am. I just remembered that I renewed it. I forgot. But I pay money for this magazine. I want the news to come out to not be irrelevant that I read there. So to have a blogger – and basically what happened was a blogger apparently had the password to EGM servers because he's a freelancer for EGM Brazil.
Nice.
So he basically had the password. He logged in and took those images for his own.
What an ass.
You can't do that. I'm sorry. You can't do that. At the same time, the same thing that we talked about with Sony and Kotaku, they should have been a little more careful with their servers. The Kotaku-Sony blackball thing, if you remember, was that Kotaku found out from an insider source that home was, you know, a real thing, that this was what home was. This is what they planned to announce at Game Developers Conference. And Sony was like, hey, could you kind of, you know, keep wraps on this, not because we want to hide it, but because we want to make a surprise announcement. And while my first inclination was to be like, well, you know, they're a news outlet, they should be reporting what they want to, Ethan brought the very good point, is that, well, the better thing to do would be to say, hey, look, okay, give us first word on this and we'll break the story for you, but, you know, you guys kind of did have a leak and that's something that you should have covered up. That's something that you should have taken care of. So, yeah, EGM should have been a little bit more careful with their servers, but by and large, I am inclined to say that as someone who, you know, worked on this story and worked on getting this together, the staffer who blogged about this, James Mielke, you know, has very many good points. You can't just go in there and steal shit and just put it up there. Now, if someone from EGM itself had come and leaked it to this guy, I don't know how much different that would be. That would still be bad, but it's like, well, the source is actually coming out and telling you, so whether or not they're right or wrong, it's slightly...
And then it would be their fault. It would be their fault. Yeah.
And it's the blogger saying, okay, this is what I'm reporting. I'm reporting that a source has come to me and leaked this.
Yeah.
I don't know how if we're splitting hairs here or whatnot, but I don't know. I wouldn't be happy about it if it happened to me. And if I had access to GameSpot stuff and I had the opportunity to post stuff, like, I won't tell you what they are. You know, I'm not supposed to. It's their stuff.
Right.
So I feel a little bad for the little guy. You know, he was, you know, even though he did steal, he was telling us something cool.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as Ryu's crotch hangs out and it's kind of disturbing, it's cool that we get to see these images. But, you know, show a little restraint. Show a little respect for the people who pay your check. You know?
Exactly.
This isn't CNET here.
Yeah. But. To quote Family Guy, you're a phony. You're nothing but a phony.
Who said that?
That's when Peter was in this Costco-like store, and there was a player piano, and he was, like, imitating that he was playing the piano, and a guy goes up to him and he's like, hey, that's pretty nice. And then Peter turns around, and he's like, well, thank you. And he's like, hey, you're not playing that. No, that's wrong. This is wrong.
It's a random guy. It wasn't Peter himself. Okay.
You're a phony.
You're a phony. All right, the next news piece, or you guys want to say something about this?
Nope.
Next.
Hey, how appropriate is this? The Kane and Lynch site caught fibbing about reviews and scores. This comes from Game... I forgot what the site's name was. Game something. Game Bump. Game Bump. That's what it was.
Game Bump.
And if you look at the ad, this is Game Bump via Kotaku. Is Kotaku via Game Bump. Game Bump originally reported, but I'm reading the Kotaku article. There's a screenshot, and it says 5-star. It has 5 stars. 5 stars. A mercenary, a psychopath, and a bundle of cash. What could go wrong?
That doesn't sound like a
Informer.
Review.
No, but wait. That's a quote. Not a whole review. That's a quote.
Right.
From Game Informer. Another one. Another 5 stars, and then it's the best emulation of being in the midst of a Michael Mann movie that we've ever seen. From GameSpy. If you read along with this Kotaku article, though... this wasn't from reviews. This was from preview text, and the GameSpy one was from E3 coverage. Furthermore, those stars, yeah, Game Informer gave the game a 7 out of 10, which is not 5 stars, and GameSpy gave it a 3 stars out of 5, which is, again, by my math, let's see, 1, 2, 3 stars versus 5 stars. I think they're different. Which is really funny.
That's pathetic.
And then they went ahead later and quoted Kotaku and gave it 5 stars, and then Kotaku posted on its own site, we never said this, and gave it 5 stars. We don't give stars at all. So it was kind of funny.
But they did it again later on. Look,
and
Mozart
has this great blog up on his GameSpot blog talking about this. I think it was spurred by the fact that when we were talking about this, I said that this is not a surprise. This is normal. In no way was I saying it was right. I was just saying that I wasn't surprised. And I agree with him and his blog subject in that, no, it is not right. Oh, wait, but they weren't giving it 5 stars. They were merely dividing the quotes with the stars.
Stupid.
What are you saying, Tony?
This is, I believe it was Sony that did this. They made up their own video.
Yes, the movie quotes.
Okay.
Well, the guy's name was David Grant or something.
Something, either from the Chicago Sun Tribune or some other paper. And they would give their movies like best movie of the year. You know, stuff like that. And this guy didn't even fucking exist.
Yeah, that was really funny, though.
So Sony actually, like, you know, was well doing deceptive practices even before this Kane and Lynch thing happened. This
David Manning, practice. That's what his name was.
David Manning.
David
yeah,
Manning. Okay,
fucking
yeah.
Ridiculous.
That's pretty funny. Any more to say, or should we move on to our quasi-main topic, which is, you know, cleaning up the whole Jeff Gershman thing? Or should we say that for after the bag of shit and bag of deuce? And the bag of mails. Huh?
After?
Okay.
After.
You can never catch me. I'm a dragon. You're not going to catch me. Okay,
you
so.
You almost got me.
I almost got me. Oh, I didn't get me.
You're
okay,
never
so without
catch
further
me.
Ado, I finally saw that episode in full. the South Park with the Guitar Hero and Thad playing acoustically.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? And I like how Stan goes, can you play Buckethead on Expert? And then he goes, oh, yeah, well, can you play and then a much easier song in Expert? Like, I forget what he said. He's like, oh, can you play Buckethead on Expert? And then he pulls out his guitar and does that whole thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, yeah, that's cool, but can you play this on Expert? And everyone knows that Buckethead's song is the hardest one. So the fact that he played that at all, you know, Stan shouldn't have to ask for anymore. But
yeah.
I think they put that in there to piss off every Guitar Hero fan and going, hey, that's not right. Buckethead's the hardest song there. He's, you know, so I could just imagine him doing that, like, okay, so let's put Buckethead. No. Let's put him earlier to piss off all the Guitar Hero fans. but let's move on to the bag of feces. We are at the Bag of Feces. I'm going to go first because I really have to get this off my chest, and it's really annoying. Volleyball for the NES. I reviewed it for GameSpot. If you go to GameSpot and you read Volleyball for the NES, which is now a virtual console game, I gave it a 2. I give it a 2 for a very good reason, because it sucks, and it's horrible, and it's beyond reproach. Okay, you have to be within, like, almost a pixel-perfect position in order to set up a spike. When the ball's coming down at you, you have to, like, be exactly on the shadow. You can't be very close to the shadow. You can't be on it, but not really on it. You can't be halfway on it. You have to be, like, almost all the way on it. And then you have to press the button at the right time. And then the ball gets bumped.
Boom.
Now the ball bump goes into the air. Mm-hmm. And you want to spike it. Mm-hmm. But the spike animation is set. So when you press the B button, the guy kind of flails up in the sky like a gazelle. Mm-hmm. Like, flailing his arms. And then he brings his arm down. At the precise moment in which his arm gets brought down, the ball has to come in contact with you. There's no leeway. You know how in other volleyball games you could probably press B and then hold it and then release it when you want to hit the ball?
Mm-hmm.
Or like in, what's it called? In that titty ball game that we were playing in game night. What was it called again, Al? The Sega game?
Beach Spikers.
Beach Spikers. You know, there's a meter and you can press it to determine the strength and it'll hit it. You know, of course this is an old game. Mm-hmm. And there are no meters or anything. But at the very least, they could have been a little bit more lenient, okay? Because you have to, the peak of your jump has to exactly coincide with the volleyball. If the volleyball hits your head when you're on the way up or on the way down, you don't spike it, and then you lose a point.
Boom.
And I realize that this is an old NES game, but here's an old NES game that was just as ancient, that was awesome, and that was ice hockey. If they can make ice hockey awesome, there's no reason why they can't make volleyball awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't. And then there's some reader review up on there saying, this guy shouldn't be comparing it to Super Mario Galaxy. He doesn't know how older games work. And I'm like, I've been playing games since I was 5, which means I've been playing it for over 20 years. Playing games for over 20 years. I haven't even played Super Mario Galaxy yet.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you're talking about, but you're an idiot, so shut up. Who goes next? Tony, because we want to know what happened with what?
You know, you're a piece of crap. You're, not, you're the fucking deuce.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, if you haven't even gotten around to rattling your brain about what my bag of deuces is going to
well,
be.
Well, apparently
be
people don't
Vickers.
Know that I don't compare volleyball to Super Mario Galaxy, so we got to see how stupid they are. So
yeah,
they probably
well,
realize
I,
it.
I got to compare Mischief Makers to fucking Mischief Makers.
Really? That
yeah,
doesn't make sense. I don't understand.
Unfortunately, this is a game made by Treasure, which, if you all know, made this awesome game on the Sega Genesis, which was called Gunstar Heroes.
And then another awesome game called Radiant Silver Gun, and another awesome game called Ikaruga, and then another awesome game called Tiny Toon Adventures. Oh, wait. Actually, yeah, I thought that was actually good. But
that's it. I'm going to hurt you.
I'm going to hurt your face. Shut up.
No,
go talk.
Anyway, so, shut
up. There we go. Oh! Go ahead.
Fuck? So, that's Puerto yeah, Rico. I decided to go and pull out Mischief Makers because I wanted to see if I didn't give it a fair chance. And all I could say is fucking boring.
Yes, you
boring,
did give it a fair chance.
Boring, boring. Absolutely fucking boring. The most action-packed part of this is during
shake,
the Clancy
shake, shake.
Wars. No, during the Clancy Wars where they're sending missiles at you. And that comes a little bit close.
Shake, shake.
A little bit close. Just a little. To
I want
some of
you
the
and
action.
Al to go to fisticuffs over this. This isn't because it'll be entertaining. I get to sit back. I'll get my popcorn. I'll be like, "Yeah, one guy likes it, one guy hates it. Fight. One has dreads,
this.
One has a ponytail.
Maybe in 2 years.
In 2 years?
Yeah, when I actually get to finishing it.
I thought you finished it.
No, I played like the first two stages, and then I had to do something else.
You had to do something.
Out of necessity or choice?
I had choice. I have video game ADD, man.
Oh, that's true. Okay. Fair
well,
enough.
Okay. So many.
I just thought it's because this wasn't the most interesting game. I have others.
No. Well, maybe.
What are you
know.
Answering for Al for? I posed a question to him. Because
he's not answering, so I figured why not pretend
piece?
That I have dreads.
Why don't you shut the fuck up? Hey, Al.
Oh, I didn't even know if I was supposed to answer. I was just listening.
Oh. Well, you also have ADD in general. So yeah, I picked it up, see if I gave it an unfair shake.
Shake.
Pun intended.
Fun pun.
Yeah, so anyway, no, the game is boring. It's fucking boring. As I was saying, the Clancy Wars is about the most action-packed it's going to get, aside from the last battle, and that's it. It's all about grabbing stuff. It's all about using the poor control schemes to try to initiate some really kind of difficult moves. You know, as I said, the control scheme, in my experience, is not really advantageous for this game. You could either use the directional pad for her boost rockets, or you could use the yellow buttons, the yellow arrow buttons. Doesn't matter. All of them suck. The game's not fun. It's very, very, very boring. You just wait for action that never comes, and it's all about grabbing shit.
Is it an action game, though, or is it a puzzle game? Because that's a mean contention that I have with some
it's
of these games.
It's action and puzzle.
Because something like Wrecking Crew, like I was talking about, when I first played it, it was haphazard. And I'm just like, this is boring. Like, I don't want to break this shit. And then I realized, wait, this is a puzzle game. If I play it as a puzzle game, it is infinitely better. And it is. It's not like, and I'm not saying that, oh, you should change how you feel about Wrecking Crew. Or in your case, you should change how you feel about Mr. Right. Makers. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that when I realized that this wasn't all about action, because if Wrecking Crew was a pure action game about destroying stuff, it would be terrible. Mm-hmm. But it's not, and like I found myself really engaged in it because I realized that hey, this is challenging my brain. This like kind of like the like when I was five, not five, or when I was really young and I saw Adventure of Lolo, I was like, this is a stupid game. What is he doing? Pushing around blocks. When I play it now, it's like this is really intriguing. This is a puzzle game. So I don't know. I'm basically saying that. I'm still willing to try to play it, so if you want me to take it off your hands, I will.
Sure, absolutely. So I take it you haven't played it.
I'm making the mischief in my toilet. No, I haven't played it.
Oh, wow.
Not
okay,
yet.
So, yeah.
Partially because of you, because you scared me off from it.
How?
Because you said it was shit.
I didn't say it was shit.
Yeah,
I said
you did.
It could be shit.
You've always said it was shit. You always said you hated it.
Okay, listen. I didn't say I hated
listen.
It. I said
yes,
that
you did.
compared to Gunstar Heroes, there is no comparison from the same company.
Hey, we were talking
None.
About it on one game night, and you're just like, dude, don't play that shit.
Oh, on a game night. I thought you were talking about the podcast.
No,
oh,
it doesn't.
Yeah.
If you say
oh, yeah,
it, you said it. If you say it, you said it. There's no
I thought you were
on
talking
the
about
podcast,
on podcast
or anything.
Yeah, I never announced it on a podcast.
No, you haven't.
In person, different story.
You've been outed.
In
come
person,
out, come
sure,
out
different
from the
story.
No. Any more remarks, or should we move on to Al before this gets?
Yeah, Al.
Timey. What is your shit of bag?
I just forgot.
Should we go on to Edu's and then we'll let you think about it?
Yeah, because I just had it, and then I just forgot it because I thought about a different game. No, shitty.
Oh.
And then I forgot what that one was because
I'm listening
to you.
A lot. Okay, so let's go to Edu Buccaneers listener bag of shit. Driver, D-R-I-V-3-R. Even the name is messed up. Driv-3-R? Driv-V-3-R?
It's Driv-3-R.
Driv-3-R. an overly hyped game at the same time with awesome, incredible, amazing previews, only to be a piece of do. Mm-hmm. Driving in this game is like running towards a cliff with ice-covered shoes. And yeah. When you do happen to do well in it, crashing makes you stop completely, which could be normal if it didn't happen when you crashed on a stop sign. And don't even get me started on the on-foot parts of the game. If they were bad enough in the last game, now you have to shoot people. Well, at least try to shoot them, since Tanner is a little bit of an idiot with Parkinson's. Ouch!
Mm-hmm.
Michael J. Fox, we're sorry, with Parkinson's trying to shoot his gun. That's not cool, dude! You ask me, is there anything good in the game? No, not even the All-Star Cat. Oh, they had voice actors, that's right. A voice actor's managed to save this, not even to mention the ridiculous ad campaign directed by Ridley Scott. The Run the Gauntlet ad campaign? Wow, I have to see this now. And I can back this argument up because I'm the happy owner of this crud in DVD. So there.
Yeah,
okay, Al, go.
I'm wondering if we did do every single Driver game so far as a bag of shit. The only thing that's good about Driver 3 is you can make cool-looking movies. And I already discussed one. My bag of doo-doo caca is... shit.
Well, that's fitting.
Very good.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Shit the game.
Shit the game. Yeah, I fucking can't remember anymore. And
useless.
It sucks. I know.
Very useless.
I was thinking about some arcade translation, and let's see. I'm trying to go through the path of how I came up with this.
Last week,
I
remember, was Bloodstorm, so...
No, I'm not thinking
about
this.
Is that a jump? Oh, you're useless.
Not even that. I was thinking about stuff like... like the X-Men game that I won, Ninja Turtles, and I was like, we talked about that.
Right.
And then I thought about stuff, and I just, I owe you guys one.
Useless.
How about I give you one?
Two next week.
How about give you one?
No, we gotta move on.
No.
Let's move on.
But he said arcade translation.
Like what?
Donkey Kong for the NES.
Yeah, we already went through that.
Really?
Yeah, I think you did that.
Okay. Moving on.
Yeah.
We're on to cleanup section. This is... I guess this is the main topic, but it's more of an extension of the news section. We're just giving you guys some links on the GameSpot / Jeff Furstman / CNET situation. Now that we have some facts, first off, the staff, more specifically Tor Thorsen on GameSpot, the news reporter, has given the readership a Q&A on exactly what happened, which is, I don't want to say is unprecedented, but, you know, usually people don't do that when someone gets fired. So,
true.
I mean, it's pretty interesting. Need I remind everybody that, yes, the employees are under legal restraint to actually say everything that happened when someone got fired. Yes, some can construe this as hiding behind legal whatever. I mean, yeah, that's all well and good, but honestly, I'll get into it. Okay, so Tor writes, in the spirit of full disclosure to our readership, GameSpot News has been provided the following answers by management. Note this, okay? This is very specifically, you got to note this. GameSpot News has been provided the following answers by management to the questions below regarding the circumstances surrounding Gerstmann's exit. I repeat, by the management, okay? This is not Tor Thorsen answering these questions. Tor Thorsen is a news reporter. He has integrity, all right? I trust him. It's the management that has given him these answers. So if you have a beef, do not spam Tor's blog or Tor's PM box with spam, please. It's not him who's saying this. You know, I'm sure he's if you guys are skeptical of any of these answers, I'm sure he was sitting there writing these, you know, rolling his eyes. That's why he specifically said these are the answers provided by management. All right, if he could say anything else differently, he probably would have.
Yeah.
Question: was Jeff fired? Yes, Jeff was terminated on November 20th, 2007, following an internal review process by the managerial team to which he reported. Why was Jeff fired? Legally, the exact reasons behind his dismissal cannot be revealed. However, they stemmed from the issues unrelated to any publisher or advertiser. His departure was due purely for internal reasons. Personally, I can believe this, but for not through the reasons you don't probably not, are not thinking, and I'll explain this later. Why was the Kane and Lynch review text altered? Answer: Jeff's supervisors and select members of the edit team felt the review's negativity did not match its fair rating of 6.0. The copy was adjusted several days after its publication so that it better matched with its score, which remained unchanged. The achievements and demerits it received were also left unaltered. Additionally, clarifications were made concerning the game's multiplayer mode and to include differences between the 360 PS3 versions of the game. The reason why I kind of sniffed this out is because the entire editorial team looks through every review. So when they say select members of the edit team, to me that says that they probably talked to some people after the fact and said, we need to change this. We need someone to change this for us. And they started banging down an editorial team's door saying, okay, who can we get to concede? You know what I mean? It's like, yes, we got these people to help us change this. Those are the ones who are select members of the edit team. Don't necessarily mean that they are the ones who disagree with the review, but, you know, since they helped us change it, we're going to lump them in. Again, this is my conjecture. If anybody has a problem with speculation, go ahead and have a problem with it, but I'm telling you this right now, this is speculation. I'm not claiming this to be fact. So you can go suck a pacifier. Question, why was the Kane and Lynch video review taken down? Both the text and video reviews of Kane and Lynch went up on Tuesday, November 13th. The morning of Wednesday, November 14th, the video was taken down to concerns of quality. Specifically, its audio was deemed inferior due to a faulty microphone. If you watch the review on YouTube, you can actually see this. Mm-hmm. I noticed it, but I didn't think that's the reason they took it down, because they've done some kind of shady quality reviews up there that they haven't taken down. At the same time, they have taken down some other reviews that weren't of good quality, so give them the benefit of the doubt. There are also concerns about the limited amount of footage which was unrepresented of the game in the review. In the GameSpot podcast, in which the, two editors and the editorial director of previews and the video producer, all of whom are very close friends with Jeff, were as candid as they could be without actually disclosing reasons. They were very emotional. You could actually hear the lump in their throats as they were talking on this podcast. They were angry with management, and they said so. Ryan McDonald, who is a video producer, said outright, I am the one who took down the video review because it sucked. The quality was poor. Mm-hmm. I know that it's hard to believe. I'm going to choose to side with him on this one. You know, maybe I'm being naive. I don't think I am. But I'm going to choose to side with him on this one and say, okay, maybe the review is... Because I have seen that happen before. For other video reviews, they get taken down. Mm-hmm. And for no bad reason. Like, it'll be a really good review, and it'll just have been shot poorly, and they take it down. It's happened before. Feel free to believe what you want to. I can understand why you would, though. Next, why was the video immediately reposted? Due to the crush of high-profile games being released the following week, there were insufficient resources to reshoot and re-edit the video review. Again, I've seen that happen. Video reviews get taken down. They weren't put back up. Though, of course, this is... I mean, the timing of this is shady. I mean, there's no question that this happened at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. And you have
to... games come out.
Yeah, and you have to question it, you know? You have to question, well, you know, doesn't this look awkward? And they can say it's timing, and the conspiracy theorists can say, oh, it's not. Why hasn't the video been reposted since the Gerstmann gate? They actually called it Gerstmann gate in the official Q&A. Controversy broke. A determination was made by GameSpot Live, GameSpot's multimedia division, that reposting it would seem reactive and might exacerbate an inflamed situation, which is true. They can't win the situation. They don't repost it, people get mad. If they do repost it, people say, oh, they're trying to cover up. In the spirit of full disclosure, it has since been reposted, so you can see it. It's back on the site now. And that's why I said it was never fully removed in the first place. If you remember, I was able to access it through Game Life's blog. They had the embed code for it, so they embedded it in their blog. If you look at the video player on blog.wired.com/games, the video player is GameSpot's video player. So they didn't completely take it down. They just delinked it from the front page. Was Eidos Interactive upset by the game's review? It has been confirmed that Eidos representative expressed their displeasure to the appropriate contacts at GameSpot, but not to editorial directly. It was not the first time a publisher has voiced disappointment with a game review, and it won't be the last. This is true. However, it is strict GameSpot policy never to let such feelings result in a review score to be altered or a video to be pulled. If I want to play on words here, I love it when people say that it is our policy never to do so. Mm-hmm. Whether or not they follow the policy is an entirely different question. There is an episode of 24. I won't disclose what season or what episode because some people like to watch the show and don't like it to be spoiled. And I am fully honorable in not spoiling 24 because I hate TV commercials about 24 that spoil the show for me. Anyway, there's an episode where a certain high-ranking official says, we do not condone this, do you understand? And by what he was not condoning is murder. We do not condone murder, do you understand? And his subordinate was like, yes, I understand. But there was some little wink-wink nudge-nudge to the facial expressions that said, hey, we don't condone it, but if you do it and don't tell me, I'll look the other way. You know what I mean? It's like, mm-hmm. These are our rules. But if they were to be broken, then they're broken. You know what I mean? It's shaded like that. So, yes, anybody who thinks I'm drumming up any negativity and conspiracy and whatnot, yeah, I am. You know what? Because it's fun. but, yeah, again, this is just me. This is me. This is not the fact. Did Eidos' disappointment cause Jeff to be terminated? Absolutely not. I can go with this, again, for reasons I'll state later. Again, for the wording thing. Did Eidos' disappointment cause the alteration of the view text? Absolutely not. Did Eidos' disappointment lead to the video review being pulled down? Absolutely not. Why was GameSpot skinned with Kane and Lynch ads when Jeff was terminated? Due to design and development consideration, media buys on GameSpot are made weeks in advance. The timing of said ads was extremely unfortunate, was purely coincidental and determined solely by the game's release date of November the 13th. Take that for what you will. Why did the Kane and Lynch ads disappear from GameSpot right as the Gerstmann-Gate controversy began to heat up? Advertising sales at GameSpot are sold by the day. The end of the Kane and Lynch skin promotion had been predetermined long beforehand. Internal documentation filed before the review appeared. Shows at the site skin was scheduled to run from November 17th to 29th. Site-wide ad campaigns automatically change at midnight, hence the skin being removed after hours. Again, take that for what you will. Maybe management saw this and say, let's fire Jeff on this day because we want to. Or not. That's me being bullshitty. Was Jeff's termination somehow tied to the departure of former GameSpot Live manager producer Tim Tracy? No, they're childhood friends, left for entirely different reasons. Okay, whatever. Why didn't GameSpot write about Jeff's departure sooner? Due to HR procedures and legal considerations, unauthorized CNET networks and GameSpot employees are forbidden from commenting on the employment status of current and former employees. This practice has been in effect for years, and the CNET Public Relations Department stuck to that in the days following his termination. The company is now making an exception due to the widespread misinformation that has spread since Jeff's departure, also known as damage control, which, by the way, Tor fully acknowledges. Mm-hmm. So don't jump down his throat. Oh, it's damage control! He knows. When will the PC... who cares? GameSpot's credibility has been called into question as a result of this incident. What is being done to repair and rebuild it? This article is one of the first steps towards restoring users' faith in GameSpot, and an internal review of the incident and controversy is underway. At no point in its history has GameSpot ever deviated from its review guidelines, which are publicly listed on the site. Great pains are taken to keep sales and editorial separated to prevent any impression of impropriety. Words again, but are they successful? For years, GameSpot has been known for maintaining blah, 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 all that stuff. Okay, so the whole words thing. When they say, was Eidos' disappointment reason for his departure? All I'm going to say is this, that everybody gets disappointed at some point. Sony was pissed off at the Ratchet & Clank review. They expressed their disappointment. Doesn't mean someone's going to get fired. By the same token, that statement that, quote, their disappointment had nothing to do with the departure of someone, that those words have nothing to do with... Did Jeff's writing of the Kane and Lynch review impact the decision to have him fired? If you notice that, right? I know it's just words, and maybe I'm blowing things out of proportion, but you have to, you know, if you are seeking the truth, you know, you end up looking at words in this manner, and you think about how they word things. In my job, you know, I have clients, and sometimes things go wrong with the system that you don't want to exacerbate. So you word it properly, because the first thing that happens if you say, oh, this is broken, is that they go to upper management for no good reason, and they yell, and they hoot, and they holler, and they say, this system is broken, why did you hire these people to create it? It's broken because of a bug, okay? Bugs can be fixed, but word spreads out really fast, and I have to word things appropriately. It's cancerous. Likewise, they're, you know, wording this very carefully, and I'm sure that Tor is sitting there like, "Urgh!" And I'll give you evidence of this, of that things aren't being said when they should be. If you go to Frank Provo, who is a freelancer, if you go to his blog on livejournal.com, okay, he says somewhere, the things I could say if I could, the things that I know. Here we go. His December 6th entry at 6:50 a.m. This guy stays up. The MTV article, he has a lot of good links to a lot of material on this, so I suggest you go to frankprovo.livejournal.com. He compiles a lot of these links. That MTV article, which he links to, is a good read. Honestly, though, none of the more recent stories are telling us anything new. Heck, unless management admits that they left Jeff go because he didn't agree with moving the site's tone or scores towards the Metacritic and game rankings averages, we probably will never learn anything new. They're never going to admit that. Still, what I find the most heartening are the reader comments posted on the bottom of these stories. People are not drinking the Kool-Aid that management is trying to feed them. Rock on. The things I would say if I could say them. So much I know, so little I can spill. Mark my words, unless CNET promises to give GameSpot true autonomy and apologize to the staff and user base, GameSpot in 08 is going to be very different from GameSpot in 07. Again, he says nothing. He implies a lot. Take that for what you will. I know what that says to me is very, very ominous.
I was getting ready to say that. Ominous wording.
Dun, 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 dun.
It's the omen.
Omnal.
Damien.
Doing it Omnal. Okay. There is also a very interesting blog post on Kotaku.
Devil's Child.
Oh, wait, all right. The blog title says GameSpot may see, quote, mass resignations, end quote, over dismissal. This is they start off by saying, speaking with a GameSpot employee yesterday who asked not to be named for this story. So this is a GameSpot person who they know the name of. Okay, so it's not some guy commenting on a blog called GameSpot. It is actually an employee they're saying. Okay, This is what they're saying. Whether or not you believe Kotaku is up to you. But that's what they're saying. I choose to believe them. Let's see. Unless cooler heads prevail or concerns are addressed, GameSpot could see, quote, mass resignations, end quote, our source revealed. Rank-and-file employees of the GameSpot organization are unaware of the real reasons behind Jeff's termination. Our source admitted that Eidos was less than pleased with the review scores for Kane and Lynch, but the team has, quote, dealt with plenty of unhappy publishers before, end quote, which is why if this editor is saying, look, it's shady, but it's not just Eidos. It's not Eidos. He's not wise fired. That's why I believe when they say it's not Eidos' disappointment. Right. Our contact has stressed that money has never played a role in reviews before. GameSpot has never altered a score, besides Shenmue. yeah. So, and then the source did speculate that disagreements between Gerstmann and... Speculate! That disagreements between Gerstmann and Josh Larson may have been the root cause of the former being terminated. So... this is a lot of where I've been getting my whole, like, feelings on the matter. This is why I believe them when they say that Eidos being pissed off has nothing to do with it. Or at least isn't the direct reason, because they get pissed off at a lot of things. And all publishers get pissed off at them. You know what I mean? It's like, again, it's the wording thing. Nowhere did Tor write, Kane and Lynch write up from Jeff had nothing to do with this. He never wrote that. So check it out. It's Kotaku.com. You can... the keywords are CNET, Eidos, GameSpot, GameSpot on the spot, Jeff Gerstmann. So you can find that story. Again, the headline is GameSpot may see mass resignations. However, this was posted on Tuesday before GameSpot's podcast, before Ryan McDonald and Ricardo Torres said basically, hey, we went knocking down on management's door. We're yelling at them. We're telling them what's what. We're telling them how disappointed everyone is. So if anything... If we can be, you know, thankful for anything, any silver lining, it's that the management knows that they're pissed. Whether or not they do anything is up in the air. It's something that none of us will ever know. But hopefully, you know, it's not – management has decided to wise up and, you know, maybe evaluate their mistakes. I don't know. There's another good read on 1UP.com from Jeff Green, who is the editor-in-chief of Games for Windows Magazine. And as everyone knows, Games for Windows Magazine bears the Games for Windows name and is officially sanctioned by Microsoft. That does not mean that they're paid by Microsoft to give good review scores. Okay? As a... what's it called? What's it called when you order a magazine? Subscribe? I can't even think of the words anymore. As a subscriber of said magazine, okay, they have given horrendous reviews to games that they advertise. Hell... Bill Roper from the Hellgate London team was on their podcast making goody-goody with them, laughing and talking, and they gave the game a 4.0 out of 10. So he talks about, and it's a very good read, this among the other stuff that's out there. He says that the reason that this sticks in the craw of so many of us in the industry, and the reason why it won't go away, is how close to home the rumors hit. It doesn't matter anymore whether or not he lost his job as a direct result of GameSpot buckling to pressure because of Eidos' unhappiness. The real problem is just how fucking believable it is. The very fact that no one can just laugh it off or brush it aside is the most pathetic and telling aspect of this entire affair. So basically the point is, and that was my point all along, like, regardless of what I think happened, the bottom line is that it's bad because the fact that it's so, you know, that it's not ridiculous. It could happen, and we know it. Yep. He ends off with a solution that I actually voiced prior. The only real solution is probably to hopelessly naive I'm sorry, hopelessly naive and unrealistic one, that we could declare our independence from all these advertisers once for all. Get rid of every game ad, period. Fill the magazine with ads for cars and sodas and chips and clothes, anything not directly related to what we write about. It's my big, giant, stupid, unrealistic dream that will no doubt never happen, not in my lifetime anyway, but we need them, and probably more than they need us at this point. That's why more than ever the gaming media outlets need to reseal that wall. There can be no breaches like the one that, you know, may or may not have occurred this past week. If you work for a media outlet and you have managerial responsibility over your editors and would seriously sacrifice one of your editors to appease your advertisers, then I submit that you are a disgrace to your profession, and before you do so again, I humbly request that you fire yourself first.
Fire yourself.
And get far away from anything involving journalism for the rest of your fucking life. Meanwhile, those of us who bumble along at these jobs will continue to bumble along. We will all do our best to stay honest and forthcoming, and we hope that those in power have our backs, that they will ultimately agree that the reason why we were hired in the first place to express our opinion is still more important than the dollars coming in from the other side. Naive, stupid, hopeless, it's still all we've got. So if you want to read Jeff's full blog, it is on, let's see, I believe his homepage is GFWJeff, so GFWJEFF.oneup.com, and the blog entry is titled Gerstmann Gate 1 week Later. There's also a great article that was linked from Frank Provo. No, it wasn't linked from Frank Provo. I'm sorry, this is something else. It's called The Shame of Trip Hawkins. Okay, this is on a blog called Dubious Quality. Dubiousquality.blogspot.com. This was posted in 2005, January 13th of 2005 to be specific. It talks about how Trip Hawkins, who was heading up 3DO, made this game called Portal Runner, which what magazine? GamePro gave 2.3 on a scale from 1 to 5. And then Trip Hawkins wrote him a letter. We at 3DO are very discouraged by the slam job on Portal Runner. I hope you can recognize that I do not love all my children equally and can be objective about both good and bad features in a game as well as games that are of quality and those are not. I do not send messages like this to you after every review, but this happens to be a game that I've played all the way through and beaten on all difficulty levels, and I know the game intimately. Let's see. This sort of thing is really tragic because your online review expert was the first public review of Portal Runner, and it set the tone by telling the hardcore what to think. It closed minds that it could have opened. And in any case, your reviewer blew it on this one, and we are re-evaluating our relationship with GamePro as a result.
Dirty.
Asshole. He says, if you disagree with me, you do so at your own peril. As you know, most game publishers are losing money and have cut back on advertising. Many magazines and webzines have perished. What seems needless to me is often overly negative, the overly negative tone that Game Editorial takes. Do not patronize me by telling the reader that is our customer. Your real customer is the one that pays you your revenue, and that is game industry insiders. I mean, game industry advertisers. I should mention in passing that 3DO has been one of your largest advertisers. Effective immediately, we are going to have to cut that back. In conclusion, I think you owe us one because you took us by surprise and threw our review to a wolf. And you accepted his word as God without checking in with a major advertiser. Are you listening to this? This is amazing.
This is I can't even believe this exists. But
never mind the fact that Trip Hawkins is a useless piece of shit who ran a company that didn't succeed. Where's 3DO now?
He ran it into the ground.
It pains me that this type of letter gets thrown out, and apparently, I don't know if GamePro ended up, you know, succeeding to this and not posting the review or whatnot and getting the advertising back. Mm-hmm. But later there was an instance with Donkey Konga 2 on GameSpy where the reviewer gave it 1 out of 5 stars. Well, what do you know? GameSpy and Nintendo were working on getting their free online Wi-Fi connection network up there. Nintendo got mad. They added an extra star to the Donkey Kong review without telling the author. And that, like, what a lot of people have been saying is that nothing comes out of this stuff. Ingai Kroll on his Level Up blog, again, blog.newsweek.com/blogs/level-up, is a very, very intelligently written article about how the game industry, the advertisers, everybody has held the hardcore press in contempt. Because, hey, they're not real journalists. They're just fanboys who like to shit on us, right? That's why they hold them in contempt, and they treat them as such. It's way too long, way too deep to read but you should read it. It's a very good blog. It's titled Now Who's Being Naive? Or Reflections on Fundamental Contempt in Which the Enthusiast Press is Held by Publishers and Its Own Employer. So read that. Recommended reading. The best read I've read on the subject. There's the GameSpy coverage on this. He doesn't mention it on this blog, obviously, because he can't. But there is I really wish I could find this. Look up the GameSpy situation in which Donkey Konga was given a 1-star review, and there's stuff in there that, you know, that basically says that the guy says that there's a lot of evidence that makes that true, and yet there was nothing done about it. You know,
probably very, very swept under the rug.
Swept under the rug. And I think what Ingai Kroll and what the guy on GameSpot who blogged on this was saying, GameSpy, I'm sorry, and I know it sounds strange because I just called out GameSpy, but this guy was speaking from the heart. What they were saying was that, hey, tell people about what happens if this ever happens to you. You have to shed this, you have to shed light on this stuff, because otherwise no one's going to take you at face value, and everyone, half the people are going to call you conspiracy theorists. Before I close this topic out and let you guys talk about this, is I just want to say that stop spamming GameSpot editors' blogs or Tor's blogs or whatever. They're not the ones behind this. They work in the house that is on. This is an analogy that I've made to other people who have emailed about this and who have talked to me about this. They are basically in the house where the new landlord is an entire douchebag and isn't running into the ground. Is running it into the ground. There's no sense in setting fire to that house because they still live in it. If anything, at least wait until they leave. Mm-hmm. And then burn it down. Yeah, you know, whatever. thoughts from you guys before we move on to the mailbag group quickly, because I know you have to go.
It's fucking bullshit. I just want to say that real quick. But I think that I'm just gonna throw out some random shit. That Trip Hawkins thing is just very, very sickening. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the entire GameSpot staff is shifted or replaced or, you know, exodized in 2008, depending on how everything falls out and, you know, actually comes back into place.
I think they'll leave when that happens, but if they're still thinking about leaving, that is. But go ahead, sir.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of times, and I can personally, like, say that I have experience with this. So you can scream and shout that you'll leave something, but the only real power you have is where you're going to next.
Right.
And if you really feel like your options of going somewhere are going to be less fulfilling or less beneficial to you than where you currently are, then you're going to wind up staying.
Right.
Especially if after you've gone through your anger and your tirade and all the nonsense of the events, things start to get better. I can definitely see that going either way at this point. You know, in a couple of months, we'll see how, you know, everything seems to turn out.
And there, I think there are probably some outlets for them to go to. I mean, it's not like GameSpot's the only place they can go to. These are smart people that
oh, yeah.
So, but go ahead. Or was that it?
I think that was it.
Tony, any last remarks before you go to the mailbag quick?
Sure. Number one, who knows what other threatening letters they've got from any number of companies,
mm-hmm.
Or semi-threatening letters or intended to be threatening letters. I'm sure this fucking guy from 3DO is not the first one to ever overstep his bounds.
Totally
in
agree.
This way.
Completely
okay?
agree.
I mean, you know, but that's one of the horrors of being in any industry. Sometimes you're going to piss somebody off and they're going to see if you're going to buckle.
Right.
And I think that's what he wanted to do. I don't think necessarily he wanted to burn a bridge. I think he wanted to show them that they don't want the bridge to be burned.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, as if he's the outlet and they're just the recipients of his good fortune.
Right.
Which is totally not the truth. Okay. GamePro was not the recipients of good fortunes from video games. They just reported on good fortunes of video games. Just so happens that the video games wanted to give them advertising dollars. That's a gamble. That's their investment.
Yeah.
You want to talk about my game? Talk about it truthfully, but not that I'm buying your vote.
Somebody's washing dishes. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay.
Someone's washing dishes or turning on the water or something.
No, that was my heater. Does that every so often.
Heater's doing every so often.
When it comes, anyway, whatchamacallit, going on to what you said about, like, you know, disagreeing or agreeing with those points and stuff like that, you're just gonna have to leave it up to future. If anything is gonna shed light on this situation and come out later on, it might be if these people leave and they'll just leak it and it'll be taken to word and you know, the company can't do anything about it. Because these people are gone. It's not like they could go and fire the staff. You know? Someone leaves GameSpot right now.
They could have legal recourse, right?
No, they could have legal recourse. Not if they do it as an anonymous thing or a whistleblower.
Oh, no, okay. I thought you meant they would actually...
No.
My name is such and such, and I used to work for GameSpot.
My name is this, and I live here. No.
In your perspective, they already did that with the anonymous blogger and then this guy who's saying they're going to leave.
Yeah, but that guy's still in-house. That's a problem. You know, that is a problem.
No, but I guess what I'm saying is that they've already pretty much revealed stuff, you know, without even having to leave yet or whatever.
Sure.
So people already have their judgments on this, but go ahead.
But I'm sure that if they do leave, it's going to get worse. Or it may just shed more light that may turn this whole story around. Yeah, it wasn't true. There were other problems.
I really hope that's the case.
They were going to fire him before this review came out, or they were planning on it, or something like that.
But for what is the question? You know what I mean?
That's the whole thing.
Just don't want it to be over him, you know, defending the tone of his reviewers because you know that 7.5 for Ratchet and Clank I heard did wonders for his, you know, his standing. You know, I mean that's what they're saying in, like, you know, all the rumors and stuff that, like, oh yeah, Ratchet and Clank was also got like a really really angry response and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So
Jeff
did not, but I mean, as the editorial director, he's the one who oversees the reviews.
So he's the one that gave the okay on it.
Yes.
Yeah, he approved it. So it all comes down to him.
Yep. I guess I want to say for anybody who's in such a position, don't. If you get angry calls and angry letters from publishers and PR firms, don't pass them down to your editors. They don't need that kind of pressure. You should listen to the Games for Windows podcast for this past Tuesday. I believe it was the 4th or so. Is it the 4th or 3rd or whatever of December? They talk about the situation, not so much of why Jeff was fired, but what goes on in the industry about how this happens. And they time and time again profess that, like, whenever Jeff Green was saying, whenever I get a call, I don't pass it down because you don't put that pressure on your editors, because regardless of whether or not your editors have integrity, they will still feel the pressure and they will still feel uncomfortable with the whole thing, and it's just basically not healthy, basically. Mm-hmm. So, shall we quickly do the mailbag?
Sure.
Shall we?
Shall! First message from DigiMatrix. First off, did you do the Jeff Black Monday thing? This was a while ago. I did for some reason, I guess because I had stuff to do that day, so it was convenient. But did you guys? I believe he's referring to a lot of people decided not to show up on GameSpot or any other CNET-related site. I did not. I don't know. I still feel that – I know the mentality is that if you boycott GameSpot, you will show CNET that you are not supporting them. And I know that's the agreement there, but I choose to – I don't know. I want to go there, and I want to, in any slight way possible, show, you know, some kind of support for the guys who are still there. Mm-hmm. So, basically, if it weren't for all the people who didn't go to GameSpot on that day, I wouldn't be comfortable with going. But I feel comfortable because I think that it's kind of like a symbiotic thing. I'm there to support them while CNET sees that a lot of people aren't going. I don't know what the traffic looked like, though. And I heard the traffic didn't dip at all, so I kind of feel shitty. Mm. But I also wanted to post a podcast so people could listen to it. Mm-hmm. You know, so I had to go there to post it. I don't know if you guys quote-unquote boycotted GameSpot. Tony, I don't know if you go to GameSpot that much at all anyways. So, yeah. His second question. So, you checked out Gloria and her crotch for DMC4.
No.
No. There have been huge fap discussions about the issue. Whether it's a black thong, is she a whore, what's with the knives coming out from, and other things. It's hilarious and the only reason I'm interested in this game. I don't know. I'm interested in this game because it looks like a good, fun game with gameplay that is engaging, though maybe not deep. I couldn't give a shit about what fap does.
I still have 3 Devil May Cries to go through before I even touch this, so... Yeah. The trailers were hot, though. Yeah.
So rent the porno.
Yeah, seriously.
If you're old enough. Yeah. Only if you're old enough.
Yeah. So yeah, DMC4. Not playing it for the fap. Spike VGA Awards, do you guys agree over the winners? I'll tell you right now, I don't pay attention to Spike. Despicable channel. I don't watch it. It's dumb, and I won't listen to them. Sorry. And Tony has good reasons for why. Tony?
Leela Tequila and People from the Hills.
It's actually Taylor Tequila. Get your facts straight, you morons.
Fuck you.
God. No. Spike,
what?
No.
Wait, what's
no.
that? embellish just a little bit.
They're part of the entertainment during that Spike TV VGA Awards. Yeah, they could go fuck themselves. He's saying enlighten on who Leela Tequila
yeah.
is.
Yeah, I would like you to embellish.
Me? Okay.
Yes. Well, you're the one who knows about it.
Okay, she has a show on MTV called A Shot at Love with Leela Tequila. Think of Flavor of Love or I Love New York, and you got the same stupid fucking whore show. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I'd like to save my brain cells. Thank you. I'd like not to dumb down and celebrate superficiality. Thank you. Fuck you.
But I should point out that Digi does say Spike is not the best source for legitimate game awards. You're right on the money, and that's why I don't watch it. though BAFTA is kinda, and I'm glad you said kinda, because anything that gives the best strategy and simulation award to Wii Sports, no, you don't do that.
Incidentally, all I have to say about the outcome of the VGA Awards, BioShock cleaned up with 4, best 360 game, best game of the year. That being said, Leela Tequila and the girls from the hills. Fuck you.
Message from Ish. Well, damn, it's been a while since I've contributed to the old mailbag. It's been long enough to the point where you've realized that the Knicks suck balls. Dude, I'm sorry. They got annihilated by Philly, by 28 points again, and Philly is one of the worst teams in the league. Hey!
They got more than annihilated by Boston.
Ish, you're from Brooklyn, so you should know this lyric, but as Big L said, I'm from New York, and I was never a fan of the Knicks, and I still am not, and I never will be. So, Isaiah Thomas, you can go get yourself fired. That'll be entertaining, because your ego is way too big for the little shoebox that your team fits in. Yeah.
Good luck.
No, poor luck. Go away.
No, I'm saying good luck getting fired. Because.
Oh, that's right, Mr. Dolan. Yeah. Oh, let's cover the issue and make everything seem positive. Let's fire Marv Albert because let's force Marv Albert to quit because he doesn't want to say everything positive about the team. It's kind of like journalism. He was during games. He was critical of some of their play, and James Dolan was like, "We don't like that." And Marv said, "Well, you know what? I'm gonna go bite people somewhere else." Bye. Back to video games. Anyway, my question is, how do you guys feel about the longevity of rhythm games? I'm mainly referring to Rock Band and Guitar Hero. You think the fun factor of both franchises will run dry completely? You think they'll become the next DDRs and have expansions up the ass? Or maybe, maybe they'll just have entire editions with specific band albums. Rock Band, Fall Out Boy edition, anyone?
Oh,
LOL.
God.
Although some people will like that a lot. Yeah, just not us.
Just like some people will like My Chemical Blomance a lot. Personally, I think that these types of games aren't viewed as much as games anymore, as much as they are with karaoke. And not really, people don't really get tired of karaoke, you know what I mean? So while hardcore gamers may be like, all right, that's enough, I think the actual target market of the people who play this will, you know, it'll be there. It'll be there always. It'll be like the iToy, you know what I mean? So I don't see them really going away anywhere.
Mm-mm.
But these things are big. It's not like iToy. iToy.
Yeah,
is
no,
big
no, no.
This.
I agree with that. But I mean, I don't know. It's aside from having to store your drum. I mean, just the general idea of a guitar-based game or a rhythm-based game based on these instruments is not. I don't think that's going to go away, and I don't think people will get too tired of them. So, and it's more accessible than something like DDR, only because like. For me, I feel that it's harder to coordinate. It's feet-eye coordination is a little harder than hand-eye coordination to me. So, who was about to say something?
I have something to say about this. Main question is, do you think the fun factor of these franchises will run dry completely? It really depends on the path they take with it, because with Guitar Hero 3, my fun factor is starting to run dry. I'll just have to say that now. If they start to, like, if the next Guitar Hero game is more of a bitch can't do this, a bitch can't do that, I'm gonna start losing my flair for this game.
I think it comes down to the soundtrack as well, not just difficulty. Like if it's because I mean you can always kind of dial, not you specifically because you don't play on hard, but for people in general out there, they can always dial it down back to hard as long as they enjoy playing the songs on there. If they keep on doing what Al says and the soundtracks are still all about, you know, I bet you can't do this, instead of songs that are fun to play that happen to be slightly difficult at some points, but, like, if they're, you know, basically what you said, so I'm going to shut up now.
I mean, as far as the soundtrack is concerned, yeah, the soundtrack does play an important role in the whole thing as well, because of the fact that there are songs that I like, now because of Guitar Hero, and it's been happening like that since the first game.
Right.
And I like that to happen because that is partially one of the goals of this game. It's to expose people to music that they mm-hmm. haven't listened to.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, liking a song also involves wanting to play it in the game.
Right, exactly.
So when you have songs that are just like fucking unbelievable hard, but they're playable, like doing like Cult of Personality. Like, for example, I spent Lord knows how long trying to beat Cult of Personality. I think it was like 2 weeks. And I already liked the song, but playing it over and over again didn't make me hate the song because the parts that were being played weren't so tough. But then you had stuff like Slipknot where I liked it. I kind of got used to it. But it's like I will never be able to perfect that game because of how the notes are placed.
Right.
And I like the song, but it's not. That's not going to make me get into Slipknot.
Right, right. I don't know. I guess we'll have to see what path is. I think Rock Band at this point probably has more longevity, only by virtue of it's out later and it's got more to it. So
it's got much more to it.
Yeah.
And you know, it's in terms of Rock Band, it's like waiting for content to come out is more worth than waiting for Guitar Hero 3 yeah. content to come out.
I will say, and I'll probably get flamed for this, but when I'm by myself, I just really enjoy Guitar Hero infinitely more than Rock Band. I have to say that right now.
Why would you get flamed for that? That makes perfect sense.
Well, no, because everyone's like, oh, Rock Band. They don't listen, so they'll be like, oh, Rock Band's so much better. You know, but even playing, even the drums, which I like a lot, and because it's new and fresh, when it comes down to it, if I want to just, like, enjoy the shit out of what I'm playing and just, like, revel in my ego, like, mm-hmm. Rock Band is inadequate and doesn't come anywhere near close to Guitar Hero. And it's like, if I never owned Rock Band, and I, like, let's say I never played it with my sister, because like she's the reason like why I'm still playing it and like having fun with it, and you guys as well, and online as well, but mm-hmm. if that wasn't there, then I would say Rock Band's a waste of $170, because it's not that fun to me by myself. And like, some people still have fun with it. I don't have that level of fun to justify purchasing it if no one else is gonna play. Some people would. That's
I
just
agree.
That
I tend to like playing the drums by myself because it's a challenge. Right. But if that challenge wasn't there, like, I don't really like playing the guitar. Like, I really am only playing the guitar to unlock the songs. And I play guitar online with people. But by myself, can't play Rock Band with guitar.
And I should just say, and it's another reason why people are going to flame me, so I'm going to clarify it right now. I realize that that's not Rock Band's aim. And I'm basically saying that its aim is true. It has gotten me where I want to be gotten, and it's not capturing me where it's not trying to capture me. It's like, I'm saying this because I think it should be put into perspective that, you know, no, it's not that great a single-player experience, and it's not meant to be. It's like, who the fuck wants to play Mario Party by themselves?
Exactly.
So, and like, I think, you know, if I were to review it, I would take that into account. You know, I'm not going to slam it for being a poor single-player game, though it still needs to be mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So, any more on this or last question?
Last question. Unless Edubuck. Tony. Sorry. Tony?
No.
Okay.
Edubuck?
Yep. Oh, by the way, next time we have game night, Tony, we'll make you play the drums because I'm sure you'll get a kick out of that.
We'll see.
Last question. Eddie Buccaneer, first of all, I got a rant to pick with Tony. You totally stole my bag of shit last week with Clay Fighters.
Bag of shoe.
A bag of shoe. Let me ask you all a question. Have you ever hyped an upcoming big name game only to be disappointed by it when it I think this was asked before.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't remember
but
what I said.
Have we ever told our friends, I guess.
Oh.
Like, not like a producer or some, or like Nintendo Magazine saying, "Oh yeah, you know, Zelda."
Have
we
ever
been
the
greatest?
Been the
yeah.
Hype.
Have I okay. ever gone to somebody and said, "Oh my God, this game's going to be awesome," and then when the game comes out, I'm like, "Oh man, I hope my friends never buy this. I don't want to explain to them why."
What
suck.
Was it?
I don't know. I'll wait for you guys. Did you ever?
Oh,
have
I
one?
Thought I thought you said one. I don't think I've ever done that.
I have, but I can't remember. I think it was back in my Acclaim days.
Because I think the games that I hype, I don't hype unless I am confident that I will like it. And right. Which means that I usually don't hype it until I've, like, completely done a lot of due diligence. Like, I've either, at the very least, I've extensively played a demo, and even then that's not enough. Like, I would only really say something if I own it and I say, hey, guys, mm-hmm. you have to try this. I say, like, oh, that looks great, but we'll see what happens when it comes out, you know. So, but what are you going
to
say?
I've hyped myself up to a game.
Right.
I kind of, wait, I have an idea of something, because I just thought of a feeling that I had that has something to do with this. The Sims. And now this is, I've hyped it because I was like, oh my God, it's The Sims! The Sims, yo! It's The Sims!
Game.
It's The fucking
I hate
Sims!
It.
And I told everybody about The Sims. Everybody was like, oh man, really? And then I finally got it, sat down with it, and I was like, this is cool, but not really something that I want. But everybody else that I did hype it to did
ended up liking it.
Yeah, okay. They ended up liking it.
Well, at least
but
that's
for me,
that.
I was completely disappointed by it.
Yeah, at least there's that.
I had hyped myself up for BioBilly. I was like, oh man, this looks incredible. Oh my God.
Nintendo
game.
Power coverage was actually kind of cool. It made the screens look good looking.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. So,
but yeah, I was like, wow, it's almost like three games in one. It's going to be worth it. I'll never forget it. My brother bought it for my birthday, $50, fucking bucks, which was a lot back then. And as soon as I put it in, I was like, oh my God, I made a mistake. I made a fucking mistake.
Oh, I hope your brother's not listening to this.
He probably does. Probably is not.
Yeah, he's like, I'm sorry, man. I'll get you another game.
No, he admitted to. But he admitted it too. 64. He was like, wow, I wish you picked a better birthday gift.
You know what I can offer? I will say the first year of the DS is life.
Okay. That's a whole lot of shit.
Because I'm not just specific games, but going out and saying, you know what, this is innovative. You guys should get it.
Yeah.
I believe in the system, and all the while I'm saying this through my teeth because it's like I do believe in the system. But right now, this first year is a crappy year. It's garbage. Mm-hmm. Nintendo is totally messing things up with this first year, you know. But you know, I was insisting on people getting it because I thought it was a better idea. I thought it was a great idea, and I thought it would come into its own. It just took a lot longer than I thought. And meanwhile, I was just like, "Yeah, I believe in you, but you better hurry up." And then Advance Wars came out, and everything was fine. and what was your game besides that one you just mentioned? Anything else, or is that the only one?
Probably Turok 3.
Turok 3.
Like, I liked 1 and 2, much to Al's bane, but I did like 1. I thought 1's weapons... No, please.
Well, Evolution was 4,
I thought
1's
weapons were awesome.
I know.
2 kind of, like, took away from weapons, but the graphics were, I guess, much better. And I liked it, especially when you put the 8-meg card in there. 3 was just an absolute piece of shit.
Was it the multiplayer-only thing?
What, 3?
Like Turok Arena or some shit like that?
No. It was Turok 3. You get to pick 2 characters, a girl and a guy, and they both sucked.
Wasn't that like Rage Wars or some shit?
Yeah, I thought that was a multiplayer one. I could be wrong.
Oh, no, I've never played that.
Boom!
And
right.
Then Turok Evolution, of course.
Oh, jeez. All right, I think that about wraps this one up, because Mr. Dreads has to go housekeeping. There is the Marshy Man podcast on point, gamespot.com/users/MarshyMan50. That is if you still go to GameSpot. There is Game Slaves Radio on gameslaves.net. You can also find that via iTunes. And I hear that the Gamers Lounge is going to make a return. So look for that on user NeoJedi's profile, gamespot.com/user/NeoJedi. Hopefully that makes a return. I enjoyed being on it and being ridiculed, even though I knew a lot of shit, for about 20 minutes. And new on the site, I think we're going to have a Mass Effect review come up from a one-off contributor. And that's about it, I think. Mm-hmm. And last words?
Oh, yeah.
Donnie! All right, so I'm signing off for Alfredo. Wow, that was weird. For Tonio.
Yeah.
For Ethan, who's off rubbing his nose in ivory paint. I just dropped the major deuce. I've been your host, Austin /Mr. Chupon/ Balzac. I don't know. Okay, don't hang me.
Oh! Oh! I read it.